This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
This is Danny and Dusty.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
With Danny Murray and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
What ruckus? I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
Describe the ruckus, sir.
And 1080.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The Fan.
Hour number 3 here on Danny and Dusty on a Thursday afternoon. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080andthefan or Twitch.tv/1080andthefan, we appreciate you. We love you. We love you so much. We want you to come out and join us for our annual basketball party. It's back. George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law presents Fan Madness Thursday and Friday, March 20th and 21st at the Stadium Sports Bar and A&A Sportsbook. God, I'm excited for this. I'm slightly less excited, though, without Cooper Flagg. I don't like it. You can join Dirt and Sprague, Danny and Dusty, Isaac and Suk at the area's top location for these two best days of tournament basketball. Fan Madness is also brought to you by Coors Light and Video Only. Make every buzzer beater, bracket buster, Cinderella run, and whatever you may or may not have on a game mean more at the A&A Sportsbook. Join us for Fan Madness. You can find more information at 1080thefan.com. Last night, the Portland Trailblazers and New York Knicks played an overtime game.
By the way, it's hailing like a mother in our part of town.
Yeah.
So drive safe out there if you're on the roads. Like, it is coming down hard.
If you're not comfortable, get off the roads. Stay off them.
Oh,
for the love of God.
All right.
The Portland Trailblazers fall to the New York Knicks 114-113 on a game-winning shot from Mikal Bridges, a 28-foot double bang from Mike Breen as the Knicks walk away with an incredible win.
So if you don't know about the double bang...
There aren't that many of them.
No, it is Mike Breen, ESPN play-by-play announcer. He also, when he's not doing the ESPN gig, is the Knicks play-by-play guy. When he fires off a double bang... It's rare.
It's a big deal.
There's only been a few bang, bang.
Steph Curry.
Yep.
Double bang. That's the probably the most infamous.
Ooh, the player with the most double bangs.
I think that's the most infamous one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Donnie Blue.
Yep.
That. Mm. Mm. I want to argue with you, but you're not wrong.
More.
Yeah. No. Mike Breen double bangs versus Donnie Blue's. The number's skewed.
It is rare when they happen, but. It's the last night was worthy of it because Mikal Bridges drains a three fading away from his shooting hand from 28 feet on a contested three for the 42nd lead change of the game and the final lead change of the game. It was nuts.
It was absolutely bonkers. A game that was played within 8 points or less the entire game. You did not have a single double-digit margin. You look at this game.
In an NBA game, that is crazy.
What's really crazy is there's one 30-point quarter in the entire game, and it required two free throws in the final seconds of the third quarter for the Blazers to hit 31 points.
Really?
The Knicks scored 26, 22, 29, and 29 and 8 in the overtime.
Well, the first half was, or first quarter was.
The first half, both teams finished the half under 50.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird.
But a Tibbs team and this iteration Blazers of the Blazers, team. You could see it happening.
But again, that's even in the defensive-minded game that this was, the way the space and pace viability of the NBA now, you just don't see that happen all that often. But the Blazers get a 31-point third quarter and enough to tie it up at 77 at the end of three.
Now, they end up hitting the over in that game.
I don't remember what the over was. The spread was 3.5. It opened at 3.5. I think it closed at 4. Blazers covered yet again.
Hey-o.
Back-to-back games. Love it. In case you like that kind of thing. But beyond that, you had so many storylines come out of this game.
226 was the over-under.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me.
No.
What a line.
Knicks closed as 4.5-point favorites with an over-under of 226. They got it in overtime at the buzzer.
Oof, God. You might see that on Bad Beats.
Holy smokes.
Might see that on Bad Beats. That's actually a really good line for that game. I guess that sounds about right, even if it hadn't gone to overtime. You think a little bit better shooting probably gets it done.
Yeah.
But you had some incredible performances for the Knicks. Mikal Bridges, obviously 33 points in the game winner. He was incredible. He's 2 of 4 from three, the last three having a little bit more meaning than the others. One thing we didn't talk about in hour number one when we first started talking about this game was the free throws. The Blazers missed 9 free throws.
Oh, Bill Shonley, you've got to make your free throws.
As great as Scoot Henderson was in this game, and he was nails stepping up to hit 2 free throws to send the game to overtime, he left some on the board. And I'm not saying this, oh my God, Scoot Henderson, you cost them again. He was, he finished the game 6 of 10.
Nah, that's brutal, dude.
It is. Denny Avdia, 7 of 11. The Blazers missed 9 free throws. Scoot and Denny missed 8 of them. Scoot and Denny also combined for 10 turnovers, with 7 of them being attributed to Denny. So they each had their flaws despite their incredible games. Denny Avdia had his second game in a row and the second game of his career with a first half double-double.
I thought it was weird when you were talking about free throws. I thought you were going to go to this line because both Donovan Clingan and Anfernee Simons each play over 30 minutes. Did not shoot a free throw.
Ant leads the NBA in most 30-point games this season with 2 free throws or less. He doesn't
get to the line. But in that game, the way that it was officiated, the flow of it.
Mm-hmm. There was one thing that just came out. I just sent a tweet out about it that had just because the wording on it was kind of crazy. The last 2-minute report has come out for this game. And in that, the airball call.
Oh, yeah.
Is listed in there because it's in the final 2 minutes or overtime. And
hold on. We need to reframe what happened.
Yeah, 100%.
What the air ball call is.
So what ended up happening is I believe it was OG Anunoby took a 3 from the corner, and it was a rushed 3, and he missed it badly. 6-8 inches. I mean, it wasn't like, I wonder if it got close. It is a loose ball scramble. Josh Hart kind of has it, but he's stumbling around. There's about 4 seconds on the clock. And the ref comes sprinting in like there's a fire drill, arms flailing everywhere. He starts doing the thing where he points to the hoop. And I'm thinking, there's no way in hell he's talking about the shot clock because he missed the rim by 0.5 foot or more. It wasn't anywhere close. There's 19,003 people in that arena. 19,002 knew it was an air ball. The guy at the scores table knew it was an air ball. The other two refs knew it was an air ball. The players knew it was an air ball. Everybody except for that one ref was operating as if that shot missed the rim clearly. And he came in, stops play. If I remember correctly, it was 2.6 seconds on the shot clock. The Knicks, I believe, were out of timeouts at this point in time. It gives the Knicks an opportunity to set a play. It is one of the biggest bailouts I've ever seen. Now, thankfully for the Blazers, the Knicks did not score.
He had that over.
It was just kind of a weird thing because if you read the way that it is put in here, this is how the wording from the league is in the report. After communicating with the replay center, it is determined the shot attempt does not make contact with the rim, and therefore the shot clock is not reset. Play resumes with the game clock set to 19 seconds. The shot clock is set to 2.5 seconds remaining. So 2.5, not 2.6. This was deemed a correct call. I don't like that language. It's not a correct call. You made an incorrect call. The ball did not touch the rim.
Yeah, it should. The game should not have been stopped.
The game should not have been stopped. It should have been Josh Hart fumbling, bumbling, stumbling, and trying to throw something at the rim.
Yeah. But technically, it was the correct call to not reset the shot clock. But it was incorrect for them to... They should add something like, review was not necessary. But then again, you had that one official who obviously thought that something may have happened and may have hit the rim. So I don't know. If they would have scored, probably would have... I'd probably care more.
But for sure. I don't. For sure. I was like, I wonder how they're going to describe this. And it just paints it in the most positive light. And I'm like, no, you screwed that up.
Yeah, they did.
It bothers me. The little
that
things like that
really stopped it at all.
Really bothered me because it was just like, that was as bad or worse than the Scott Foster goaltend on LaMarcus, where, if you remember that call in Utah years ago, it was so bad, everyone in the arena knew that it was a goaltend and it wasn't close.
It was the most egregious of goaltends.
And it was like, that ball came off the backboard and then he hit it.
And it wasn't like a bang bang. It was like, it went off backboard, going in hoop. Nope, wipe it off.
And you're like, whoa, no. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
But yeah, a little digression there. That's a little bit of a grind my gear segment. That I hate how that stuff is described. Going into the third quarter of the game, both teams are tied at 77. I said the Blazers need somebody else if they're going to have a chance to win this game. They just were lacking it, and Scoot Henderson had probably the best performance of his career.
It was an incredible fourth quarter for Scoot.
18 points, 6 of 7 shooting, 2 of 2 from 3, including a banked in 3 that he didn't call glass. But that was the kind of...
The hell he didn't. You didn't hear it. He called it. I heard it. It was on TV. You didn't hear it.
Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike picked it up.
Mm.
I heard it.
But that's what happens when you play the game the right way. The luck starts breaking your way, in a sense, right? And Scoot played with so much aggression. You could see, I think we have officially gone from he's turning the corner to he's turned it. I think he's turned it, and I think his career is not only back on track, but heading up.
Yeah. And look, for all of the flack that he has gotten and all the flack that Chauncey Billups has gotten, it has taken both of those guys to recenter and commit and to each other too, because there was times where we talk about this often with Chauncey and his leash, and he will let guys work through some stuff. But if you don't have it and he sees it, he will yank you.
Yeah.
He has given him a longer leash because Scoot has earned 100%. That at times.
And again, in the young lineup that we talked about in the first hour, it was given the opportunity because they all earned it. Donovan Klingon had a bit of a rough start to the game, and then he found his groove. Tumani Kamara is always two. Denny's always Denny. Shaden was great. The first three quarters, it was Denny and Shaden. Those were the guys that were getting it done. And so you get the – Ant didn't have it. And so the young guys got the opportunity down the stretch. It is the drumbeat that I will have for Chauncey Billups through and through. You can complain about some X's and O's stuff. I still think he gets some stuff wrong plenty of times. But as far as how he treats those guys, it's about earning it. And for everybody who gets mad about, well, why does Jeremy get more time? Why does Ant get more time? Why does DA get more time? Because they've earned it through their careers. That's why. You earn that trust. Those Shea to Denny, to an extent, when he first got here, Donovan, they're still trying to earn it in their careers. And that's where this stuff comes from. And you're seeing them earn it and the reward being reaped.
Yeah. There's a part of me that says, yeah, that works, and that pecking order in the hierarchy works to a rule when you have a competitive team. When you have a team that is legitimately gunning for a play-in spot. When you are rebuilding, I think that's what people want to sit there and say, this is not a hard, fast, tried-and-true rule that you need to abide by, because there are times where those young guys have got to figure it out. And it's not like just saying we're going to roll them out all every game for this. But the amount that we have seen that young lineup, mm-hmm. I understand the frustrations because I get frustrated with it too. 83 possessions.
Yep. 44 minutes.
And we are at game what? That was game 67 for the Blazers?
Yes.
That's where it's like, probably should see a bit more of that. And I understand that because I'm right there with it.
And I think you will down the stretch.
Yeah,
I think you're going to see more of it. And yeah. they've earned it at this point. I think that's the stamp that you can put on it. All right, coming next, we're going to pivot to the NFL. There's still a bit of a quarterback carousel, so to speak. We'll sort through that and more here on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, this is a game of duck, duck, goose, where the last one left standing, not the place you want to be. Cleveland Browns and New York Giants are haggling over some version of Russell Wilson, as Russell Wilson has taken a meeting this morning with the Browns and is on his way to the New York Giants. Meanwhile, the Pittsburgh Steelers are waiting on Aaron Rodgers.
This is all getting really weird because there was a report yesterday that the Vikings were even kicking the tires on Rodgers, which that would just be hilarious because of the fact that he would absolutely be following Brett Favre in his career arc and everything that Favre did. But this is what Aaron Rodgers does, right? Just like it is so weird that he followed Brett Favre because Favre just strung everything out. Remember, mm-hmm. It would be like the retirement, non-retirement stuff over and over again. And that's not what Rodgers is doing. He just is like, I'm going to decide where I'm going to play on my own time, in my own terms. And there comes a point, though, where is Aaron Rodgers good enough to wait around for like that? Because
he's probably on that fault line right now.
He is on the fault line. Yeah. And at what point does, you know, Pittsburgh, and look, for Pittsburgh, they're at a point where it's like, if we don't really want Russ back, they know what they had in Russell Wilson. They're,
I mean,
like,
they were opting for Justin Fields if they were going to keep either of them.
Going to be a no for me, dog. And so it's like the draft is probably where Pittsburgh makes a choice. And Minnesota is in this position where they have J.J. McCarthy, who they drafted very highly last year, and he ended up tearing his meniscus, and they let him heal, and he's been sitting around learning the offense, learning from Kevin O'Connell, learned last year from Sam Darnold. Even though he was injured, he still was able to be around. But that's a weird report that they're not just like gung-ho, no, he's going to be our guy, he's going to be our dude. If they're kicking the tire on Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers and Justin Jefferson would be filthy.
It might be good God.
They would be nasty. As long as Kevin O'Connell is the guy who calls the plays and Aaron Rodgers relinquishes his control.
I could see Aaron stubborn as hell. I could see him ceding some control to KOC.
He would have to.
But can you see it? Because I can. Because I think he would respect KOC. As opposed to, obviously, the relationship he had with Saleh was a non-starter. Even with Hackett there, it was a non-starter.
Let's see. Did he do it with Mike McCarthy? No.
No?
No, he didn't. Did he do it with Matt LaFleur? No.
I maybe push back against that a little bit.
No, he didn't, because that was the big friction that they had.
At the end, yeah.
At the beginning. At the beginning, that's what it was, is that LaFleur wasn't able to like have his imprint, because everything Rodgers does, he will control at the line of scrimmage and get into whatever he wants to do, right? Which is a good thing, but it's also got to be within the framework of your offense coordinator and play caller. That's why he loved Nathaniel Hackett being a play caller, is that he was like, I can just tell this dude what to do and he'll do it. And so in New York, he gets Nathaniel Hackett, which was his guy that he could manipulate, and he could just say, this is what we're going to run. And Hackett was like, awesome. Love that idea, Aaron. You know? I mean, he hasn't done it. And that'll be the interesting part, is that, like, with the pieces that Pittsburgh has right now in George Pickens and DK Metcalf, that's not really an Aaron Rodgers receiving core. I mean, he likes to have a guy who he can take shots to. He's got two guys that are like shots, yeah, everybody. So all he has really is Pat Freiermuth as his underneath guy, and that's where he operates the best, is underneath.
Did you see the Favre comment
about no.
what he said when asked if Aaron follows that path? He's like, I don't care, go for it. I mean, those guys never had a great relationship, so.
Well, but he basically also said that Minnesota's a great place to go win.
Yeah, it is.
And yeah.
But how insane would that be, that the two quarterbacks that basically quarterback the Packers for 35 years, both go to the Jets, both have unceremonious fallouts, and both go to the Vikings?
Yeah.
Only thing missing is a dong pick.
I'm not going to rule that out.
No, that's actually out there.
I mean, it's really hard to do, though, in a darkness retreat.
Yeah.
But you take enough ayahuasca.
Gotta have a flash.
Who knows? I don't think he gets service down in Costa Rica where he did his ayahuasca.
I'll just say
so
this.
I don't know.
Look, man, the Olivia Munn girlfriend period existed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
So.
There is one quarterback off the market, though.
Mm.
Kyle Trask, going back to Tampa. The first Tampa-drafted quarterback to get a second contract in franchise history.
You're kidding.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy.
That's a real thing? Dude, Garofalo did some dirty work. I had on the background at home, the NFL Network on, and he does like a little news update, and he's like, breaking news update, Pittsburgh Steelers have found a quarterback. Mason Rudolph has returned. I was like, oh,
you
he
monster.
Had like a pregnant pause, yeah. And I was like, dude, that is nasty.
That's dirty work.
Don't do that.
I like it. Come on, next, we're going to keep it in the NFL. Dusty, there's a team out there who did some work here in the offseason so far that you really like so
I do.
Far. We'll get into that more. First, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
As the official contracts are being signed around the NFL, as the free agency period is officially open, the non-tampering phase.
Gosh, thank God the tampering phase is done.
There you go. Legal tampering, right, Jeff?
Jeff's favorite term.
Legal tampering.
Call it a hall pass.
There you go. I like it. There's one team, Dusty, that has stood out to you as a team that has done, maybe zigged when other teams have zagged, and it takes into account where they are and where they want to be going forward.
Yeah, I think the Denver Broncos have done an incredible job at the infancy of free agency and moving into this offseason of how do you bolster a team with a young quarterback and you pop in year one unexpectedly, right? Because people weren't expecting the Denver Broncos to take the step that they took this past year because there were so many holes that were perceived on it. And the biggest one was at quarterback. And the marriage of Bo Nix and Sean Payton has worked about as well as anybody could expect. And they did it without a loaded wide receiver room. They did it without a, you know, one of the bell cow running games in the NFL this past year. It wasn't like a Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley type running game. They did it with a balance offensively and then a really damn good defense. And Vance Joseph's defense was outstanding. I love what Denver did because what most teams do when they have that young quarterback and you don't have the elite go-to Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Deebo Samuel, or hell, even tight ends like Travis Kelce or George Kittle, you don't have that elite, truly elite guy. You say, that's what we're going to go do. We're going to gear up. We're going to go, and he needs weapons, and that's where we're going to do it at. They didn't do that offensively at all. What they did was they said, we've got a good defense. Let's make it great. And they go out and they get Talanoa Hufanga. Mm-hmm. They got Dre Greenlaw. And look, are there questions? Yes. Sure. But then they kept their own guys too. Mm-hmm. And re-signing guys like DJ Jones was huge for them. Going out and getting a Jaquan McMillan and bringing him back. Just keeping the guys on your defense that are good and holding on to them and keeping your offensive line intact. Those are the important things because what they did is their flashy, splashy free agency signings were Hufanga and Greenlaw, who improve a defense that's already good. And you're not asking them to be, you know, game changers for you. You're asking them to elevate just a little bit. And then they went and they got Evan Engram. They upgraded at tight end a safety valve for Bo Nix, not the Ferrari. The safety valve for Bo Nix.
And you're a big believer in the sophomore slump for quarterbacks. No matter how good somebody is, the tape is out there. You get adjusted to people. And that's going to probably hold true for Bo Nix the same way it did for C.J. Stroud. And the same thing it'll hold for Jaden Daniels. And could somebody bump up this year after having a rougher year last year or take a step forward? Sure. But historically, the sophomore slump is a thing that comes out because tape and adjustments and coordinators, they're smart.
Teams are so damn good. Coordinators are so good. Players are so smart and quick. The NFL takes away your strengths better than anybody else, and they do it in a really damn hurry. As a rookie quarterback, they're like, dude, in that division, they're like, we've got Patrick Mahomes, we've got Justin Herbert we need to worry about. The rookie year one, you might get caught in the chin. Best believe they're not going to get caught in the chin twice a year against Bo Nix and Sean Payton next year. So they're going to gear up and they're going to have the book. The way you combat that, especially when you have quarterbacks that are that good in your own division, is you don't say, how can we score more points than them? Which is what many teams do when you get the quarterback. It is, all right, how do we slow down Mahomes and Herbert and whoever with the other elite quarterbacks we're going to play just a little bit more so our guy gets to have that chance at the end of the game?
And you bring up something that I think is very specific here. That division.
Yep.
Who did the Chargers hire last year?
Jim Harbaugh.
Where does he focus?
In the trenches, offensive line, and then build a defense that can suffocate you.
The Raiders just hired Pete Carroll. Where does he focus?
Defense.
I mean, Andy Reid is and Sean Payton are the offensive minds, but how many points a game are the Chiefs scoring this year?
They leaned on Steve Spagnuolo in that defense all season long.
Who was considered the best defensive coordinator in football this year?
Steve Spagnuolo. Yeah.
Okay. And the Broncos had a good defense last year. This division, and the Raiders, I mean, they've got one of the best defensive players in all football, Max Crosby, and they're trying to add to that. So they're clearly the team that's furthest behind. But in identity, what this division is becoming is a bit of a throwback.
It's a damn good division. And I think the biggest part of why I like what Denver did, they're drafting 20th this year.
Mm-hmm.
In going and improving your defense the way they did, in going and getting a tight end in Evan Engram, what you now have afforded yourself is we can get that weapon now.
You can go a lot of different places. We can line them up.
They can go at 20th if running back is where they, because that's the hole that they have now, because they did lose Javonte Williams in free agency.
Amari and Hampton's probably going to be
there. Amari and Hampton can be there, but you can also trade back too and collect a couple more assets and then be more aggressive, you know, later in the draft and getting guys. You can go out and you can say, all right, if receivers aren't going to be flying off the board early, maybe we can get the second best receiver here. You can get the second best running back now.
Do you believe it's Burden? Do you believe it's Golden? Do you believe it's whoever?
They have that luxury now to get the best player that fits whatever need they have. It's probably running back, but hell, is there a world where they say, all right, screw it. We're going to try to move up as aggressively as again, say Chicago doesn't go Ashton Jeanty at 10. Say they don't. Sure. Can you work up into that 12, 13, 14 range and pull an Ashton Jeanty out of your hat? Maybe. I don't know, but if they want to go and Amarian Hampton, who is North Carolina running back, mm-hmm. really damn good, yeah. and would fit that offense well because he's not like a plus receiver, but he can catch the ball out of the backfield too. So important with Sean Payton's offense, and so important with Bo Nix and what he's comfortable with doing. Yeah, Amarian Hampton at 20 wouldn't be a reach. No. It would be a guy that makes sense for them.
It would match selection spot, talent, and need, which if you can do all those things with your draft picks where you're matching need,
mm-hmm.
talent, and draft slotting, that's the player you take.
And that's why it's not – what Denver did isn't like
– groundbreaking.
No, it's not a home run or anything splashy. These are the teams that I feel are the ones that win free agency. Mm-hmm. You hold on to your important guys, and they did lose Cody Barton and Javonte Williams, right? Those could hurt them, but you backfilled that with, you replace Barton with Dre Greenlaw. Mm-hmm. You go and you get Talanoa Hufanga, who's going to improve your secondary. He is an improvement there. It wasn't splashy, but it makes so much sense on how does this team get better right now. And it's hold on to your own guys, continue to develop them and grow them, and then makes you it affords you the ability to be aggressive in the draft. I thought it was good.
Never, I think you're
thought again, I'd say that.
Teams that recognize who they are, man.
Yep.
I feel like that's the name of the game in sports right now, knowing who you are.
And
being real about it.
Having a better defense takes more pressure off of Bo Nix than going and getting a big receiver in free agency. But because guys that you get in free agency usually have a little bit of a diva side of them too. So
certainly
go and find that guy in the draft, and he can grow right alongside Bo Nix moving forward.
I come up next. We'll put a nice little bow on today's show. We'll have an update on the baseball stories that pertains to the Rays and what
unserious
what they are doing going forward. Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan. Yesterday we talked about the Tampa Bay Rays and their dysfunctional ownership and what the hell they're doing in Tampa Bay, as Major League Baseball has basically threatened to take money away from them because all they seem to do is take money from Major League Baseball and the dispersal payments and not take the payments that are being offered by the city and commissioner of Tampa Bay, as they are offering them a new $1.3 billion stadium, to which today ownership in Tampa Bay has said, after careful deliberation, we have concluded we cannot move forward the new ballpark and development project at this moment. A series of events beginning in October that no one could have anticipated led to this difficult decision.
A hurricane.
Yeah, you're playing in Florida. That doesn't change anywhere in the state.
Oh, man. So they're saying that the hurricane and the delays that kind of ramped up costs around this stadium, they're not going to move forward because they got $1.3 billion for this thing. And here is where when we talked about this yesterday, Major League Baseball and the other owners are starting to get frustrated with Sternberg, is because, like, you don't need this money to come out of more taxpayer dollars. This is a very unserious thing that he is doing right now because he owns a Major League franchise. If you don't have the money to sit there and say, we got the overages on these delays, then sell the damn team.
Get out.
because it makes all of Major League Baseball look bad when the local government bends over backwards when several other teams are begging local governments to do this, which they shouldn't do anyways, because all of these people are billionaires.
Yes.
They're went giving over him the top to give him the money.
They give him the money, which nobody should.
No.
You shouldn't. But they, look, if they vote for it and they're willing to do it, fine, go with God. I think it's a dumb idea. But the mayor of St. Petersburg, Ken Welch, had a statement that is pretty piercing after the Rays ownership, Stu Stenberg, made this statement. If in the coming months a new owner who demonstrates a commitment to honoring their agreements and our community priorities emerges, we will consider a partnership to keep baseball in St. Pete. But we will not put our city's progress on hold as we will await a collaborative and community-focused baseball partner. Basically, the money's here. Take it or well, beat it.
And they're getting money for a stadium as part of a $6.5 billion project to revitalize
the entire district,
St. Petersburg. Think of that. Like the what's the Albina project that that Phil Knight is funding? $1.4 billion. Yeah.
So they're getting more.
They're getting $6.5 billion to revitalize St. Pete. And this stadium, they rolled in as part of that. That to me is you don't need to look any further. And we've heard so many stupid ideas that this ownership has tried to nickel and dime the area and the fans of the team, like the split half the season in Montreal, half the season in Tampa Bay. That's ridiculous.
And because of the construction delays that are real because of the hurricane,
yeah,
they ripped the roof off the building. They're going to play in Steinbrenner Park, which seats 11,000 people.
And you know what I can't wait for? I can't wait for the Yankees to go and play a road game in Steinbrenner Park
with all of the Florida transplants,
because it is the Yankees spring training facility, yeah, is where the Rays are going to be playing.
It'll be nothing but pinstripes in the crowd. Nothing.
And no franchise deserves it more than the Tampa Bay Rays.
The A's.
No, not after this. No, because John J. Fisher is just an idiot. This seems like malicious towards the community now.
That's fair. That's fair.
All right. Well, let's party on. We got to get out of here because we got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. Look, it's primetime with Isaac and Suk. They're going to be here. They're gonna party hard with sports. But we will be back tomorrow from noon to 3. Well, maybe, because Oregon Ducks basketball will take over at 8:30 during Dirt and Sprague, and then Ducks Michigan State starts at 9. If that game goes to quadruple overtime, we may be a little late. We may be a little late. I don't know.
Overtime. Overtime.
Well, it'd only be by like 5 minutes. They were done by like 11 o'clock.
Then I can be on time.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow from noon to 3. Up next, you got primetime.
Bye.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.